The Road to Happiness, Elder James A. Collymore, James A. Collymore, Conference Report, October 1967, pages 45-48, My Brothers and Sisters, I am grateful today for this joyous experience. Sister Collymore and I have just concluded a tour of all the missions of Great Britain, holding meetings with many of the branches and the wards there, and we bring you greetings, especially to President Mackay. The members want you to know how much they love you, and wanted us to bring you their greetings. One of the greatest thrills that came to us as we visited these missions was to see the light in the eyes of the new converts, the tremendous radiance and light that came into their eyes as they expressed their faith and their happiness in receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think, too, as I see the happiness and the radiance, the joy in the eyes of good members everywhere who are living the gospel, that it lets me know more than ever that the restored gospel is indeed the way to joy and happiness. As the Lord placed man upon the earth, He intended for him to be happy. He gave him laws which, if he is obedient to them, will bring him happiness. He filled the earth with all things to make him happy. Blessed are the meek. In this dispensation the Lord has said, inasmuch as you do this, the fullness of the earth is yours, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air, and that which climbeth upon the trees and walketh upon the earth, yea, and the herb, and the good things which come of the earth, whether for food or for raiment, or for houses, or for barns, or for orchards, or for gardens, or for vineyards. Yea, all things which come of the earth, in the season thereof, are made for the benefit and the use of man, both to please the eye and to gladden the heart, yea, for food and for raiment, for taste and for smell, to strengthen the body and to enliven the soul. And it pleaseth God that He hath given all these things unto man, for unto this end were they made to be used, obedience and expression of gratitude. Now all that He asks of us is gratitude through obedience, for He said, in nothing doth man offend God, or against none is His wrath kindled, save those who confess not His hand in all things, and obey not His commandments. And then He gave us the real key to joy and happiness. He said, but learn that he who doeth the works of righteousness shall receive his reward, even peace in this world, and eternal life in the world to come. Peace comes as the Father witnesses unto us His divine approval of the things that we are doing. This peace is a basis of real joy and happiness, and it comes to us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consequences of Adam's transgression. One of the most profound statements in the scriptures as to the purpose of man's advent upon the earth is in the Book of Mormon, as Lehi teaches his son Jacob in the many truths of the gospel. He said, and now, behold, if Adam had not transgressed, he would not have fallen, but he would have remained in the Garden of Eden, and all things which were created must have remained in the same state in which they were after they were created, and they must have remained forever, and had no end, and they would have had no children. Wherefore they would have remained in a state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery, doing no good, for they knew no sin. But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of Him who knoweth all things. Adam fell that man might be, and men are, that they might have joy. He taught Jacob also that as the Lord desired men to have joy, so the devil seeketh to make him miserable, for he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. This great joy came to our first parents as the Lord revealed unto them the purpose of the creation, and they saw that now through the fall these purposes could be fulfilled. The fall, another version, the fall is generally looked upon by our Christian friends as a great sin, committed by our first parents, which brought shame and death to all the human family. They believed that if Adam and Eve had not partaken of the fruit, their posterity would have lived on endlessly in peace and bliss, free from temptation and sin and the problems of the flesh today. The Lord has revealed to us that only by the fall could His plan be accomplished. Adam and Eve praised the Lord. Is it any wonder then that as these glorious truths were revealed to Adam and Eve, they had great joy and praised God? The Holy Ghost fell upon Adam and Eve and bore record of the Father and the Son and gave witness that as they had fallen, they may also be redeemed, and all mankind, even as many as will. We are told that Adam blessed God and was filled, and began to prophesy concerning all the families of the earth, saying, blessed be the name of God. For because of my transgression my eyes are opened, and in this life I shall have joy, and again in the flesh I shall see God. And Eve, his wife, heard all these things and was glad, saying, were it not for our transgression we never should have had seed, and never should have known good and evil. In the joy of our redemption, and the eternal life which God giveth unto all the obedient, the way to joy and happiness. Yes, the restored gospel of Jesus Christ is the way to joy and happiness. The Lord intended that His children should be happy, that they would have joy as they served Him. He gave them understanding of His plan and how they would enter back into His presence. He had given his children a promise of great blessings for obedience. Almost every commandment is accompanied by a promise of reward for obedience. Paul said to the Corinthian saints, "I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." I like the verses of President George H. Brimhall. The aim of man's existence is that he may have more joy than sorrow, in the sum of life build rather than destroy, to seek the truth, love man and God and in his work be glad, be much more moved by love of God than by the fear of dad. Despite adversity, the Lord intended that man should have joy in his labors, that even through adversity and sorrow and trials the hand of the Lord could be seen as he fulfills his purposes in the earth, that in the sum of life we should emerge with more joy than sorrow, more gladness in work than drudgery, be motivated by love rather than fear, have joy as we build and achieve, have peace and satisfaction as we seek to find the truth. That joy and happiness often come through sorrow and trials is attested to by President Brigham Young, in the midst of the sorrows and afflictions of this life, its trials and temptations, the buffetings of Satan, the weakness of the flesh, and the power of death which is sown in it, there is no necessity for any mortal man to live a single day without rejoicing and being filled with gladness. I allude to the saints who have the privilege of receiving the Spirit of Truth and have been acquainted with the laws of the New Covenant. It is necessary that we should be tried, tempted, and buffeted, to make us feel the weaknesses of this mortal flesh. We rejoice because the Lord is ours, because we are sown in weakness for the express purpose of attaining to greater power and perfection. In everything the saints may rejoice in persecution, because it is necessary to purge them, in sickness and in pain, because we are thereby made acquainted with pain, with sorrow, for by contrast all things are demonstrated to our senses. We have reason to rejoice exceedingly that faith is in the world, that the Lord reigns, and does his pleasure among the inhabitants of the earth. I rejoice because I am cast down, because I shall be lifted up again. I rejoice that I am poor, because I shall be made rich, that I am afflicted, because I shall be comforted, and prepared to enjoy the felicity of perfect happiness, for it is impossible to properly appreciate happiness, except by enduring the opposite, need to labor compatible with happiness. In the fall the Lord told man, "By the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, and unto woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception." This didn't take away the possibility of happiness and joy from the father's children, it made it possible for them to appreciate true joy as they understood sorrow. The restored gospel is truly the way to joy and happiness, as it gives man truth to live by and a knowledge that they are free to act for themselves, that free agency is a gift of God, and that by proper exercise of our agency we might have great glory with our Father in heaven. It teaches the happiness that comes by keeping our bodies clean and pure and free from sin and abiding by the code of health as revealed to the children of the Lord. Knowing that our bodies are the temples of God, it gives man an understanding of the plan of salvation, that we live primordially, the real purpose of mortal life, and the hope of eternal life, life with God in all its glory. It witnesses unto us the vindication that comes from the Father, as we give service to our fellow man. President McKay said that he who seeks for happiness seldom finds it, but he who lives for the welfare of others, who loses himself in giving happiness to others, finds it in double portion, for it comes back to him. Our Father witnesses to us his acceptance of our obedience to him in keeping his commandments by the warm, sweet feeling of heavenly peace that burns within. Quoting President McKay again, "Peace comes by obedience to law, that man is not at peace who is untrue to the whisperings of Christ, the promptings of his conscience. He cannot be at peace when he transgresses the law of righteousness. Peace does not come to the transgressor of law. Happiness is a warm glow of the heart at peace with itself, happiness from obedience. There is no question but that man receives the greatest happiness from compliance to law. Our knowledge of the promised glories of our Father that are prepared for those who are obedient to his commandments gives obedience to these laws and great happiness, possibly equal to the joy that comes to one in the feeling of vindication of the Father as he witnesses to us his divine approval for our good lives is the joy in the soul that reprinteth. The Lord has said, "Remember the worth of souls is great in the sight of God, and how great is his joy in the soul that repenteth." The Lord is greatly concerned about every one of his children and would that all would repent and enter into the joy that he has prepared for those who keep his commandments, the object and design of existence. The prophet Joseph Smith summed the matter up like this: "Happiness is the object and design of our existence, and will be the end thereof, if we pursue the path that leads to it, and this path is virtue, uprightness, faithfulness, holiness, and keeping all the commandments of God. May each of us be worthy to receive great joy and happiness each day is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen."